spiritual warfare and this idea of spiritual warfare and why we need to put on the armor of God. And we've looked at many different aspects. We've viewed the enemy. We have viewed the war and the conspiracy that's going on and how the devil wants to distract you from what the real issues are and from what the real goal is. And the real goal is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to see our family saved. It's to see our loved ones saved and born again. And I tell you what, in the world that we live in today, we need Jesus. I mean, we need Him now more than we've ever needed Him. We've always needed Him, amen. But man, I tell you, we need Him right now. We need Him in our family, in our home, in our marriage. And the devil has been very successful over the years of destroying the family. He's been successful in destroying marriages and homes. And he has had tactics that he's used since the very beginning to do it. The Bible tells us not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. And so this morning I want to look at the whole armor of God. And we've led all the way up to this point. And if you've been in church any length of time, you've heard preaching on the armor of God. And you've heard it in Sunday school. I know that at least on two or three different occasions, some of the children in here have heard Sunday school lessons or Bible school instruction on the whole armor of God. One year for Vacation Bible School, we did a baseball theme, and we did it on the armor of God. And so as a child, I know that some of the kids have learned some of these, and maybe some of you have, and maybe you haven't. But I'm not going to spend too much time on each one because I want to get through all of them. This is the last message of the year. We're about to go into revival. And I want you to know that the devil's not happy with anything that goes on in this church. He's going to try to cause division any way that he can. And misunderstandings or whatever the case might be, he wants to cause division. If we're doing something for God and we're supporting these missionaries all over the world, the devil's not happy with it. And so we must stand. Amen. And so let's look at this morning for a few minutes. Ephesians chapter number 6. And look with me in verse number 10. If you're there, say amen. The Bible said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador, in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Brother Heitz, would you pray for the message this morning, brother? Amen. Each one of these points this morning, there's seven pieces. We also know that seven is the number of completion in your Bible. But seven, there's seven pieces here. And each one would do good to be its own message. Amen. But like I said, some of you have heard this growing up, and we've led for a couple months now up to this position of putting on the armor of God. And the reason why I did it in this order, and I didn't preach on the armor of God first, I did it last in the series of messages, is because you need to understand why you need to put it on every day. We have an enemy that we face. We have an enemy that we're against, and he's after us every day. And we ought to put on the armor of God every day. And last week we looked at the principles of the armor of God, and that you need to put it on every day. Put on the new man and put off the old man. We already stated, and we understand, we preached the whole message on this thought, that the sole purpose of the armor is so you can stand and withstand. It's not designed for you to go attack the devil. It's designed so you can stand and withstand. That's the purpose, the sole purpose of the whole armor of God. And so as we go through here, I want you to put on your spiritual thinking caps and your spiritual mind and try to forget about all the things that's going on in the world right now and who's going to be president or not president. None of that really matters, amen. God's in charge, and I'm thankful for that this morning. And He's my high commander. He's my chief in charge, amen. And so we put our trust in Him, but regardless of what happens out there, we need to put on our armor every day so we can stand and withstand. And so as we look through here, I want you to kind of take your mind and your spiritual life and lay yourself up against the Word of God. We ought not to compare ourselves one to another. I mean, you might be going through here and you say, well, my girdle of truth that I'm going to girt myself with is bigger than theirs. Amen. Mine's bigger than yours because I'm a bigger person. Amen. Physically speaking, not spiritually. Amen, necessarily. But I'm just telling you this morning, you need to compare yourself to the Word of God as we go through here this morning. So the first thing I want to look at, I'm going to get right into it. In verse number 14, the Bible tells us to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So the very first thing we see there is the loins girt with truth. The loins in the Bible speak of two different things. There's two things it talks about, and we're not going to go over it all for sake of time, but there's a lot of places in Scripture that talk about the loins. The loins is where you have your greatest area of strength. Most of us, your greatest strength is going to be in the muscle and bones in your loin area, in your legs. It's going to be the strongest thing. And so that is a great area of a warrior's strength. Is right in their legs and that part of their loins in the upper part. And the Bible tells us there in verse number 10 of the same chapter of Ephesians 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And if you're going to be strong in the Lord this morning, you have to put on that girdle of truth. You got to be able to put that on every single day. Not only is it the area of your greatest strength, but it's also the area of reproduction. That's the area of reproduction. And if you're going to grow as a Christian and you're going to birth others to Christ and you're going to win souls to Christ, you got to have your loins girt with truth. As I'm going through here, you say, all this sounds simple, but you must put this on every day just like you do your clothes. And this is the first thing it tells you to put on. To girt, it means to gather up the loose folds of your garment and bind them tightly about your loins in preparation for moving quickly. There's an example of that. I wrote down most of these verses for sake of time, but Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 11, the Bible said, and thus ye shall eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. You know what he told them to do there? He said, told them to gird up themselves, to have their weapon in their hand while they're eating. Why? Because we got to be able to move quickly. We got to be able to move quickly. And you know, oftentimes the child of God will gird up ourselves and we'll clothe ourselves with all the distractions and weight of this world. We'll gird ourselves with all the entertainment of this world. We'll gird ourselves with all the philosophy of this world, all the social media, and when the devil attacks, we can't move quick enough. But every day, we ought to get up and gird ourselves with truth. we ought to get it on, and we ought to put that truth on and be ready to go. And I'm probably going to spend a little more time on this one than any other one, because it's the foundation one. It's the first one that everything else attaches to this right here. And that is to gird ourselves up, to our loins gird about with truth. This gird is the foundation garment for battle. It anchors the breastplate. It holds the weapon that's ready for use. It's the foundation piece of our armor that we put on. You say, what is this? The Bible tells us it's truth. It's truth. Stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. You say, what are you trying to say? We ought to get up every morning just like you put your pants on and put your clothes on. And just as you get dressed every day, you ought to put truth on every single morning. And that ought to be the foundation that we use to start our day. We're talking about putting on the armor of God. We've already established we're in a battle. We've already established there's an enemy. We ought to be wrapped with truth every single day. You realize this morning that truth is what the world mocks. Truth is what the world mocks. You go off in these different colleges and things, and you might have somebody that has a little bit of sense, and they might believe there's a God, and they go into universities and college, and they're supposed to be learning some kind of truth, and they come out of there saying there is no truth, and they come out of there not believing in a God. They come out believing in evolution and everything else, and they don't even believe in God anymore when they come out of there. Amen. This all right this morning? I know some of y'all are tired and had a long week, amen, probably too many Christmas presents and worried about all the debt you're in. But we ought to put on truth every single morning. I tell you what not putting on truth in the morning is, the first thing you do is you wake up and check your social media. You know what you're doing? You're putting weight on. You're not laying aside every weight that this so easily beset us. Truth the world mocks. You know what truth is? God is truth. His word is truth. Truth is free from all falsehood. It's free from all deceit. It's free from all deception. A half-truth is not truth. We need all truth. And truth hurts sometimes. It hurts sometimes to be sitting there and just be told the straight truth. But I appreciate somebody that'll just tell me the straight truth. Amen. You can trust somebody like that. Truth is absolute. It's eternal. Truth is unaffected by any time or circumstance. I mean, truth is just truth. It don't matter what time it is. It doesn't matter what time of the day. It doesn't matter what point you're at in your life. It doesn't matter the circumstance. Truth is truth. And you ought to start off your day by putting on some truth. God, you be honest with me, and Lord, I'm going to be honest with you. He already knows. Amen. He already knows. Why would you deceive Him? Truth, like God, is free from all misunderstanding. As a kid, I'm not going to ask if you did it last week, but as a kid, did you ever come up with a little white lie to get out of something and you couldn't keep your story straight? Amen. It's real quiet in here. And you couldn't keep your story straight. But I tell you what, the times that you just told the truth, it was so easy. Just like when I tell about the day I got saved. Hey, it's the same story every time. Yeah, because it's the truth that never changes. Amen? The truth is truth. And I'm thankful for it. The truth is pure light. The Bible said in 1 John 1:5, this then is the message which ye have heard of Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Truth is pure light. Jesus said in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is truth. John 17:17, the Bible says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. You know what you ought to be wrapped up in every day before you start your day? You ought to be wrapped in truth. You ought to be wrapped in truth. And I understand there's some people say, I like reading my Bible at night, and I understand that. The Bible has a whole lot to talk about reading it in the morning. It does. I mean, that's a good way to start your day off. That's a good way to get going. A good way to wrap yourself in truth before the day ever gets going. And I realize there's some it's just easier to do at night. And man, you read your Bible and get it done. But you ought to start off with a little bit of some kind of scripture, amen. You ought to start off with a little bit of truth that you can gird yourself with. That way you can stand during the day. Have something that you can put your weapon on and something that you can have your breastplate attached to. All truth is God's truth. And you know what the source of lying is? Who's the father of lying? The devil. God is truth. The Bible said in Romans 3:3-4, for what if some did not believe, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a what?
A liar.
We ought to girt ourselves with truth. There is nothing that the world despises more than absolute truth. Do you know why they hate us? They hate us because we have a final authority that's truth. Jesus said that they hated the disciples not because of who they were, but because of who they stood for. Jesus said, they hate me. Why? They hate truth. Nobody likes being told how bad they look. Amen. Nobody likes that. I mean, we went to Chattanooga, and I don't want to get down here too much because I'll get to preaching and then I won't be able to get done. But we went over to Chattanooga and we went to Sea Rock City, and we went through a little place called Fat Man Squeeze. And it was rough. It was rough. So we get going, and then we went to Ruby Falls. And the man said, we're about to go through an area that's like Fat Man Squeeze. And my precious little 5-year-old daughter begins to tell the whole tour group how daddy barely made it through Fat Man Squeeze. She said, my daddy's so fat. I mean, that sounded like a start of a joke. Amen. My daddy's so fat whenever, amen. We won't go any further there. He said, Emma, be quiet. You said, what was happening? She was just telling the truth. Out of the mouth of babes. Amen. You know why people don't flock to churches that stand on a book and they preach it uncompromisingly? Because the truth, they don't like to hear the truth. They want to be told how good they are. They want to be told how precious they are. And when you start off your morning every day with the Word of God and girding yourself up with truth, I tell you what, that's a good way to start off the day. Start off by realizing that you're nobody. Have a constant reminder of who you are. Or do you like to start it off with seeing how many likes you got? There's people that get on there and they'll post things before they go to bed and they can't even sleep at night because they want to get up and see how many likes. And they're commenting at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and posting things at 3 or 4 in the morning because they think somebody really cares. And all the other foolish people are hitting the like button because they want their like button to be hit. If I don't hit your like, you're not going to hit my like. I don't care about any of it. And I don't think God does either. He's not interested in your pride and foolishness and vanity. Absolute truth. Our faith begins with truth. It ends with truth. The Bible said here that we're supposed to girt about with truth. Stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. This is the very foundation of our faith, is truth. Amen. This is what starts off the whole thing. If you can't get this one down, the rest of your wardrobe's going to be messed up. Amen. The rest of your wardrobe's going to get all messed up. When you get up and get dressed in the morning, you have a routine of how it goes. Amen. You got a routine of how you put everything on and you prepare to come out the door. You ought to do it every morning, and I would do it in Bible order. If you're not in Bible order, you're not in any order at all, Lester Roloff said. Amen. It's either Bible order or you're out of order. Well, I want to do it this way. I don't care what you want. Amen. What does the Bible say to do? It's either God's order or no order. You can't pick and choose how you want to do it. Because if you don't put on this girdle of truth first thing in the morning, then everything else is not going to fit right. Amen. We gotta put this on every single day. The second thing we find there is the breastplate of righteousness. Are y'all still with me? All right. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. You know what that breastplate's there to do? It's to protect your heart. Whenever folks go deer hunting, I know we got some deer hunters in here. You want to hit them right in the right spot, amen, to go through a punctured lung and maybe hit their heart and drop them on the spot. The enemy's after your heart. The enemy's after the heart of your children. The enemy's after the heart of your marriage and your home. And you have to put on that breastplate of righteousness. And it's going to be fastened to that girdle of truth. That's where exactly where it's going to attach. You say, what kind of heart does it protect? It'll protect your natural and spiritual heart. I mean, it'll protect both of them. Now, there's people everywhere that are heartbroken this morning. Talking about their physical heart, they're heartbroken today. They might be heartbroken because of a loved one or heartbroken because of whatever happened. You say, what took place? They got hit in the heart by a fiery dart. And they're injured. They're hurting. What happened? They weren't wearing their breastplate of righteousness. They weren't wearing the breastplate of righteousness. You realize this morning that your heart, your spiritual heart, your physical heart, that is the seat of your character. That very seat of your being, your intellect, your emotions, all those things is your heart. The Bible said you shall know them by their fruits. And out of the heart, what does the Bible say about the heart? Out of the abundance of the heart, the what? The mouth speaks. You get somebody riled up in battle, or they get upset, or they get their feelings hurt, you know exactly what's in their heart. And you know whether or not they were wearing their breastplate of righteousness. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 9, the heart is deceitful. Amen. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know who knows it? The Lord. And because He knows my heart, because He knows me and He knows my heart, then He knows exactly what I need to protect my heart. And you know what it is? His righteousness. It's not my righteousness, it's His righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. You realize as a warrior's breastplate, that thing protects his most vital organ. I mean, that's the thing that keeps the blood flowing. That's the thing that keeps everything running just right. In your spiritual heart, that's what keeps your heart tender and towards missions and towards loving the church and loving one another. And if you don't watch it, if you don't put on that breastplate of righteousness, the devil will get to your heart. He'll get to your heart. The breastplate of righteousness protects us. And I'm thankful today that this breastplate of righteousness is not my righteousness. The Bible says that my righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. Now, if I was to put on my righteousness to protect me, how easily could a fiery dart go through some filthy rags? If it's a fiery dart, I'm going to burn up. You ever took some old rags and lit them on fire? Amen. Your old greasy self, amen. Got all that grease in that rag, and that thing lights up on fire. A fiery dart hits it, you get burned up. Man, you get burned up from head to toe. You're sitting there on fire, needing to stop, drop, and roll. But the righteousness of Jesus Christ, it can withstand fire. You know why? Because He already took the keys of death and hell. Amen. His righteousness was perfect. His righteousness will protect you. But you get up every morning, you put on your own righteousness, you think that you're somebody. The Bible said that God gives grace to the lowly. He gives grace unto the humble. We need to realize that we are nobody and He is absolutely everything. Get up every morning and realize I'm nothing, He's everything. Put on His righteousness. You try to trust your old stinking flesh, you'll get in trouble. You'll get burnt, you'll get hurt. And if you're fighting a battle with somebody and they're not wearing the breastplate of righteousness and they're wearing their own righteousness, their own stinking flesh, and their own filthy rags, and they catch on fire, it's going to affect everybody around them. Especially if you're trying to sneak around in the dark, they're going to be like a ball of fire right there alerting the enemy. We're all right here. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. I'm thankful for Jesus, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So many verses we could go over, but I'm trying to go through this whole list. All right, look at the third thing there, verse number 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. You know, a soldier's boots, you say, that doesn't sound like it's one of the most important things, but it's a very, very important thing. I mean, if they've got sore or hurt feet or damaged feet, they're not going to be able to move very quickly. If they've got sore feet, if their boots are not just right, they're not going to be able to march, they're not going to be able to run, they're not going to be able to do the things they ought to do if their feet's hurting. I mean, how many times, don't raise your hand, but how many folks get home at night and they just want to take their shoes off and put their feet up? Amen. You say, what in the world? Well, on me, they've been carrying a load all day. Amen. And just get up and say, man, my feet just hurt. And I want to put my feet up. But your hands did things all day. They drove and they ate, amen, too much probably. And they did all these things and your hand did it and your mind was doing. But people say, I want to just put my feet up. Nobody says, I want to put my hands up. I want to put my arm up. They say, I want to put my feet up. Why? Your feet's what's going all day long. It's holding a load. Amen. It's holding a load. And your spiritual feet, they ought to be holding a load. You say, what's that load? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of peace. So what's the gospel? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to be carrying that everywhere we go. We ought to put that on our feet every single day. Again, there's so much preaching that can be done in all this. But those boots, those feet shod with the preparation of the gospel that's put on every day, they have a purpose. And it's to take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to others. It's not only used to carry the gospel, but it's used to protect you. I mean, I wear shoes so that when I walk in the gravel and things, it protects my feet. And you know what the gospel does for me? It protects me. And in return, it protects the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, your life every day, when you get up on Monday morning and you get dressed, you ought to put on the armor of God. And you ought to say, Lord, I'm putting on the gospel of peace. I'm putting on my gospel of peace boots. And Lord, may my life take the gospel to somebody today. But if you don't put on that gospel of peace, your feet are going to get dirty. And they're going to get stinky. And then the testimony, your testimony is going to be hurt. The testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ will be hurt. And now you're not carrying the gospel to anybody because you hurt your testimony. Amen. There's some folks this morning need to wash your feet and put back on the gospel of peace. And say, I'm going to carry it to somebody. We ought to be replacing gospel tracts back there every service. I mean, every Sunday, we ought to be back there having to put more tracks in. Why? Because that gospel of peace is going out. It's going out. It's going out. But we don't do that. Amen? This gospel of peace. We need healthy feet for battle. That gospel of peace protects the very foundation of the Christian's walk. It protects your testimony. Hey, if my life is carrying the gospel, then my Savior's testimony will be protected. But if I walk where I want to do and go where I want to go, and I don't put on those gospel of peace, I don't put those boots on every day, it's going to hurt the testimony of Jesus. Instead of magnifying the gospel, it's going to muddy it. I mean, Lord willing, nobody would ever say, I don't want what he has. Amen. You know what I want them to say? I don't know what it is about you, but whatever it is, I want that. And you know what I get to say? It's Jesus. It's not me. It's Jesus. You know what Satan tries to do? Satan tries to harm your feet so that you can't take the gospel. He's going to try to harm your testimony. He's going to try to harm it so you cannot take the gospel. The Bible said in Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. That publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation. I mean, I think feet are some of the ugliest part on a body. At least mine are, amen. Everybody's looking at me funny. I think they're ugly. I don't know why people paint them. I don't know why they put bracelets on them. I don't know why they put toe rings on. You can't make a foot look any better than what it is. It is what it is. But the Bible said if you carry the gospel and you carry the salvation, that you have beautiful feet. You hear that, Miss Sarah? You can rub my feet now. I got beautiful feet. Uh-huh. Look at the next one there in verse 16. I'm almost done. Y'all stay with me. It's hot in here. I know some of y'all are mad. Some of you are tired. Some of you are bored. All right, verse number 16. The Bible said above all. I mean, we could stop on that for a minute. Above all, above everything, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield is imperative for you to be able to stand. That shield is so important for you to be able to stand, because if you serve God, fiery darts will be shot at you. It's a guarantee. So above all, don't forget your shield. I mean, you could put on everything else, but don't forget that shield. That shield of faith that we find there above all. Why? So that you can be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, all the ones that come in. The shield is what's going to deflect those fiery darts. Above all, you take that shield. You take the shield of faith, and it'll protect you from false accusations. The devil's a liar, and he's the father of it. That shield will protect you from false accusations. It'll protect you from sly comments. It'll protect you from threats. It'll protect your feelings from getting hurt. The shield of faith. People say, man, somebody hurt my feelings. Why? A fiery dart hit them. The Bible said that if you love God's law, nothing shall offend you. I mean, you have that shield of faith. Every time somebody comes to me and says, I got offended, I say, well, you don't love God's word. Thank you for telling me. You want to announce it to the church too that you don't love His word? Amen. So what happened? And you know what we forget sometimes? We forget this is not about you. And it's not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I get offended and I just deal with it so that somebody can get help, then praise the Lord, maybe they'll get some help. Because it's not about us. But if we don't have that shield of faith up, then all of a sudden we're going to get hit with those fiery darts and all those comments. And I tell you what, the devil, he knows exactly what it's going to take to hit you. He knows every little tactic it's going to take to hit you. And he'll do whatever he can to throw those things at you. He wants to hurt and wound your spirit. He wants to hurt and wound you. We find over in Jeremiah 18:18 that Jeremiah suffered the same fiery darts. It said, then said they, come and let us devise against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. You know what they said? We're going to run down the preacher, and we're not going to listen to anything he has to say. With the tongue. You say, what's that? Fiery darts. Fiery darts. David suffered the same thing. In Psalms chapter 57:4, my soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire. Even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. You say, what? He got fiery darts thrown at him. Jesus Christ himself suffered it. You know what they... Do you know what they called Jesus Christ, or what they said about him in John 7:20? They said, thou hast a devil. They told Jesus that he had a devil. Amen. You say, well, they lied about me, or they said this about me. Are you any better than Christ? Amen. No. You say, what do? You keep the shield of faith up. You keep that shield of faith. It's an intricate part of this armor that you put on every day. Paul suffered the same thing. You know what they said of Paul? They said that his words were weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. Amen? Somebody's always going to find something to say about you. All the time. You say, what do? Who cares? I mean, who cares? It's about the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I do? I put my shirt up and let it bounce off. Or I could turn my back and tell all my friends how bad I was hurt, and I'll just keep getting shot. Amen. I remember as a kid, you know, there'd be other people that come up and make fun of you and do all those kind of things. And one of the best things you could do when somebody's making fun of you is just laugh with them. Amen. I don't know, you're looking at me funny. You know, like I did there in the cave. Yeah, I'm fat. I couldn't make it through there. That's funny. You know what? It's not as funny anymore making fun of them when they're laughing with you. They want to keep going when you get mad. You know what the devil wants to keep doing? He wants to keep shooting fiery darts at you. And he wants to keep shooting them. And keep shooting. Why? Because your shield's down and you're whining and complaining about what somebody's saying. Put the shield up. Amen. We got to have it every day. Without the shield, we get wounded. And when we get wounded, it leads to being disgruntled. And we're disgruntled, that leads to becoming critical. And it leads to being bitter. And bitter against everyone that's around us. And getting critical of everything that goes on. I mean, if somebody's got a critical spirit about everything, they've been hurt. They've been wounded. I know this is getting down where the rubber meets the road here, but when somebody's hurt, they get defensive. And they get defensive about every little thing. And then they get real critical of everybody around them. Then they get to the point where, why is everybody else not hurting like I am? Maybe they had their shield that day. Maybe they carried their shield. Amen. I hope this is helping you this morning. We've got to put on the armor of God every day. When you get hurt, you turn into a hypocrite. Amen. You want to be ultra spiritual, but at the same time, you're critical. And you can't have it both ways. You've got to have that shield every day. You say, what's that shield? That shield is made of faith. The Bible said in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Man, this whole thing of the Christian life is faith in God. It's just trust in Him. Amen. Trust in Him for everything. Amen. Lord, the fiery darts are coming. You told me this would happen and you said you'd protect me. I'm going to hold my shield of faith up. So how big is that shield of faith? I don't know how big is your faith. How big's your faith? And let me tell you this, dads that are in here today, mamas, you need to have some big faith because your little ones can't really hold up a shield right now. You know what those two kids right there are doing? Those kids right there are just right behind mommy and daddy. And the size of your faith and your shield is what's going to protect them. But if your shield's not big enough to protect yourself, then your kids are wide open to the devil. Mamas, how big's your shield? You able to protect them babies? Do you have enough faith in God that He's going to take care of your family? Or do you worry about every little thing that comes along? The devil will use that to hurt you and your family every time. It's the shield of faith. What's faith? Just trusting God. Man, I trust Him to save me from hell. Why can't I trust them with everything else in my life? Pick up your shield every day and get closer to Him. And you know what? As you pick up your shield, your faith might be small, but then you might be in the ministry for 50-something years, man, married for 50-something years, and next thing you know, you got this giant shield that protects you 365. And no matter what happens, no matter what burden comes along or trial or fiery darts, you have the peace that passeth all understanding. And you say, you know what? It'll be okay. Why? I know the Creator. You say, why are you not frazzled? Why are you not upset? Why are you not scared of the coronavirus? Why are you not scared of who's going to be president? Why? Because I trust in God. My faith's in Him. My faith is in Him. And that takes spending time with this book and spending time with Him and letting Him, let Him win some battles in your life. So you know what? I trusted God for that. I trusted God today. I can get up and trust Him again tomorrow. And then years will go by and said, I've trusted God for 20 years. Amen. But for those that don't trust Him and they worry and they fret about every little thing, your faith will never grow and it's going to be a constant struggle with fiery darts. And you're going to be worried about every little thing that people say. It's one of the reasons I despise social media. There's people that get on there and they post things and they want people to care and nobody really does care. Amen. You say, well, I got 500 likes. That's because they want a like. Amen. Is this all right? The devil uses that stuff. And there's people that didn't get as many likes as they thought. Now they're discouraged. They want to post something about how good God is 1 minute, and they're cussing or showing off a tattoo in the next one. This shield, we've got to have it. It's an effective shield. The Bible said there, y'all still with me? Wherewith shall be able to quench some of the fiery darts. No, it says all. It's an effective shield. Just put that shield of faith up and let God do what he can and will do. It's an omnidirectional shield. It'll protect you 365 as long as you're standing and facing the enemy. It'll protect you all the way around. You say, why 365? It'll protect you from friendly fire. Amen? And don't be foolish to think that you won't get hit by friendly fire sometimes. I mean, we could be in the battle together. Next thing you know, somebody's back here shooting darts at you. Pastors, the general's out trying to lead the church and, hey, let's charge! And there's two or three people back there just shooting darts at them. Do you think it was okay that Brother Andrew did that? Do you agree with that decision? Amen. What were they doing? They're just shooting little darts, friendly fire. But you know what? I got to have the faith to say, God, you've got this. And I got to give an account for these knuckleheads back here. Amen. Moses stood up there with God, and God said, hey, your people's down there rebelling. Amen. His assistant pastor down there had done turned the whole congregation against the pastor, Aaron. And that's not who God wanted. God did not want Aaron in that position. God has never had a committee. He's always had a man. You say, what do you mean? I mean, whenever Moses went to God, he said, my speech. God said, who made your tongue? God said, I did. And Moses just insisted on having an assistant pastor. And so God said, fine, take Aaron. That's not what God originally wanted. Well, Moses is up there, and all these people come to Aaron and said, make us a God. Amen. They got all the stuff together and built this calf. And when Moses gets down there, he's all upset. And he said, hey, what's going on? I mean, they were dancing and taking their clothes off and doing all these crazy things in the name of worship. I mean, just all this stuff carrying on. And Moses asked Aaron, what are you doing? He said, I just threw it in there and this calf jumped out. So now he's a lying, backslidden, wicked associate pastor. So what happened? Moses was just trying to get a hold of God, and they were throwing fiery darts at him. You say, what's that? Friendly fire. Friendly fire. Well, somebody didn't shake my hand, or they didn't do this. How big's your shield of faith? Does it really matter? Amen. And I'm all for fellowship. Don't get me wrong. I'm just talking about those that allow the devil to just injure them time and time again. Amen. Let's get to these last few right here. The helmet of salvation in verse number 17. And take the helmet of salvation. A soldier's helmet protects their head from harm. A spiritual battle, a spiritual armor that we put on, that helmet of salvation protects your mind. We all know the devil's after your mind. We looked at several messages on that. You know, when that God saved you, he gave you a sound mind. I mean, God took your dirty mind, your filthy mind, and he gave you a sound mind. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God gave you that the moment you got saved. You said, I've never had peace of mind. I've never had a sound mind. Then you've never met my Savior. You need to get born again. You need to get saved. The Bible said he'll give you a mind like Christ. In Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You say, what happens? What happens? God saves you. He gives you a sound mind. And then you forget to put your helmet on. And then the devil gets after your mind. The day of salvation, he gave you a sound mind. I'm not saying you have to get saved over again, but every day you need to put on the helmet of salvation. Every day you put on that helmet of salvation, God gave you a new mind, a clean mind, and now you need to protect your mind. You know what many of us do? We might put it on sometimes when we get up and go to church, but we take it off and we set it on the shelf, and then we watch all the filth of this world and the garbage that comes out of Hollywood all week long. Watch television shows and listen to music and all those things. And the devil's just throwing fiery darts right at your mind. Why? You took off the helmet. You didn't put it on. Amen. You know what's sad? There's some people that choose. They know they're about to do wrong and sin, and they'll take the helmet off and set it aside and allow the devil to have his way. You say, what do I do? You ask God to renew your mind. The Bible tells in Ephesians chapter 4, you're right there in Ephesians, look back. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 22 through 24. Are y'all still with me? I'm almost finished. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 through 24. The Bible says here, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. If Paul's telling these believers that they need to put off the old man and put on the new mind, a man and be renewed in their mind, that's something we have to do every day. Every day we get up, Lord, would you protect my mind? Because guess what? The devil's throwing little electronic fiery darts at you all day long. And you better be aware of it. You better be aware of it. Not just through electronics, but he might send somebody by your way to be a distraction. And your mind will begin to wander. I tell you, just as Eve's begin to wander, you need to put on your helmet of salvation. Satan's after your mind. He said, you know, sometimes it's good to be reminded of what God did for you when he saved you. Lord, you made me clean. You made my mind clean. And I've allowed the filth of this world to clutter my mind. You know what David said when that happened to him? Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. God, I remember how clean I was. I remember how clean my mind was when you saved me. God, would you do that for me again? Just remind me what you did for me when you saved me. Those children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, man, they were free, but it wasn't that long that they got in there and they said, I wish we were back in Egypt where we could have the garlics and the leeks and the onions. Amen. But they forgot about the bondage they were in. They forgot about making brick and straw and all those things. Let's look at the next one there, verse number 17. I'm almost done. Verse number 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. And you know what? The Bible just is very clear. It tells us exactly what the sword is. It says, which is the Word of God. I mean, it's clearly defined. The Bible said, Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So what is it? That sword of the Spirit. I mean, we ought to take that sword every day. We ought to have that sword every day. The Bible says there that it's quick and it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. There's nothing that can stand against this book. So how do you know that? I'm still holding it today. I thank God I'm still holding this Bible today. It's perfect and clean. It's pure. Amen. I'm thankful for this word, this book that I have today. And there's been many times the devil's come against it. There's been many times the devil's attacked the doctrine of it. Many times the devil's attacked this thing, but I'm still holding it today. Amen. This King James Bible that I have, there is no copyright on it. It can be freely published. If you have a King James Bible and it has a copyright, the notes are the commentary of whoever put that together. That's what's copyrighted, not the Bible itself. Amen. I thank God for my Bible. Let me say this morning. If you're going to carry the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, you have to have it in your heart. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Amen? You've got to hide it in your heart. If you're going to use a weapon, you better know how to use it. And you got to put it in your heart. If the devil tries to attack you today and you were to leave out of here and he starts throwing fiery darts at you, would you be able to respond with the Word of God like Christ did? But the only way you can do that is if it's in you. In Sunday school, we've encouraged people to memorize Scripture. Amen. And there's some that are doing it. I don't know how many said verses and have not, but you ought to memorize verses. You said, I can't. My mind just doesn't work that way. Well, you know why it don't work that way? You need some Scripture in it. God can give you a sound mind. And I promise you, if you want to memorize this book, God will help you do it. I mean, he's not going to not help you learn the Bible. Good night. This is his life. Amen. You say, I can't remember anything. He'll help you remember that. I promise. Give it a try. Amen. Hide the word in your heart. This Bible, man, it's the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. But you must be competent enough to use it. Amen. Years ago, I got to tell this story really quick. I'm running out of time. Years ago, how many of you know the black preacher brother, what's his name? Brother Tory Carter, over there in Arkansas. He came to my house during a camp meeting. All right, and we were outside shooting guns, amen? We like shooting guns. We're out there shooting guns. And so he's holding this shotgun, and I go in the house, and I turn back around to come outside, and my neighbor across the street who is certified, she like has legit papers that she's cuckoo. I mean, she has papers. I mean, she's got a problem. Amen. I go outside and he has handed her the gun. And I come running out the door. I said, take that gun away from her right now. Why'd you give it to her? He said, she said she knew what she was doing. Amen. Scared me half to death. And she came over there because there was a black guy holding a gun in my yard. Amen. I guess she was trying to look out for me. But she was all over the place. I said, don't ever just give somebody a gun because they say they know what they're doing with it. Yeah. There's a lot of people. He said, what are you getting at? There's a lot of people that think they know what they're doing with this book and they hurt themselves. They cut themselves. They cut other people. They cut up churches. They cut up congregations. They don't know how to use it right. The Bible says, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You ought to learn how to use the book. You ought to use. And you say, how did I do that? You study. You take time to study. I know these kids are getting restless, and some of the adults are too. It's just on the inside. Amen. Somebody amened it. All right. We must be able to use this thing. Man, I have all confidence in my Bible. Amen. If I didn't have confidence in it, what would I do? Amen. I got confidence in it. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God preserved his word, and I believe he can use it to help us. Amen. You know, if you're a preacher in here, the Bible tells you to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And you do that with this word. Take the sword of the Spirit. All right, let me give you the last one. Verse number 18. Praying always with all prayer. I mean, this is the last piece of the armor. You know what I think we ought to do? I think we ought to get up every morning and we ought to put on each piece. I mean, go start with that girdle of truth. And literally, in our spiritual mind, before God, put it on. And then the last thing we do is pray. You know what pray means? To ask. Lord, would you help me fight my battles today? God, I have put on this armor so that I can stand. God, I put on this armor so I can withstand. Now, Lord, will you help me? The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray without ceasing. You know what that means? To constantly ask God, Lord, would you fight my battles? Somebody says something, God, you heard them. Would you fight the battle? Lord, I just want to stand and I want to withstand. God, would you help me? You know, all this is done. Paul talks about the armor of God here. All so that we find here in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We put on the armor of God so that we can stand. Why? Verse number 19, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You put on that armor of God. Remember, the end goal is not your happiness or joy. It's to give the gospel to somebody. It's about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have we forgotten about that? It's about seeing people saved. It's about seeing our family saved. It's about seeing our family serving God and living right for Him. We put on the armor of God every day. Let's all stand. Miss Sarah, if you would come. What about it, church? Are you putting on the armor of God every day? Is this a daily routine? Putting on the armor of God. If God spoke to your heart, would you come? There's some that are coming. Would you come this morning? If God spoke to your heart, we looked at the enemy. We looked at all the things. And I'll tell you what, each piece of this armor, you say, I've got some of it. Oh, you need all of it to be protected. Would you come this morning if God spoke to your heart as she begins to play?